Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. You're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. It's good to be back behind the microphone. We have been on a four-day journey to Nashville, Tennessee, to appear at the Understanding the Times conference, where we met a number of very dear saints of God and had a wonderful experience. And so, again, we're glad to be back on the air. If you're out there today, remember the number to call if you're listening and you want to tune into the broadcast and maybe get some conversation going. The number to call is, write it down, 818-369-0326. And as we go throughout this next hour, we will have the telephone lines open to all of you that may be tuned in right now on the internet or on your iPad, iPod, or whatever other device you may have. The number to call, 818-369-0326. You can listen by phone. Make sure you tell a friend about the Omega Radio Network. By the way, I thought it was very interesting at the Nashville Understanding the Times conference that some of the main speakers that were there were Joel Richardson, Daniel Seckham, Christopher Manti, Jake McCandless, and even a guest appearing by Nelson Walters. And I looked at those men who were up on the stage and I thought, you know what? Every single one of them have been interviewed through this Omega Radio Network. Joel Richardson was interviewed several times on Blog Talk Radio several years ago. So it was good seeing everybody, but there they were. And these are men of God that brought a great message, a very, very wonderful meeting. There's no doubt the presence of God was there. If I took anything away from the gathering, there was a lot of great information, nuggets, pearls, some incredible wisdom and understanding about several things. But the thing I took away the most was the presence of God, because in his presence is fullness of joy. And there was just a beautiful move of the Holy Spirit. But I don't know when the next Understanding the Times will be, if we'll be right here in Northwest Arkansas or not. I talked to the organizer, Becky, of that event, and we concurred that Northwest Arkansas needs to have an Understanding the Times conference. So we'll be looking forward to that and see how things go. But I wanted to share with you this morning, before going any further, before we get into some other things that I think are extremely important, I want to talk to you about the need of running your race. I want you to know that if you are a Christian, if you are a man of faith in Jesus Christ, if you are a woman of faith in Jesus Christ, From the day that you believed, from the day that you received the grace of God into your heart, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all the goodness of God that comes through Jesus Christ, the day you received that, you entered into a race, dear friend. You were enjoined to a race, and you've been running your race since the day you believed. And so the Apostle Paul puts it this way, and I want to pick it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm just going to go all the way back to verse 19. Paul said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all." And let me explain why I'm reading this part of the verse, and we'll get to the running in the race here in just a second. I was in a church yesterday with Pastor Frank and his wife, beautiful, beautiful people. Daniel Seckham was speaking at the church. This was obviously after the conference before we left yesterday. And I was sitting there and they were having a, you know, the whole conference was about the Jew and the Gentile. It was about the religion of Islam. It was about Muslims. It was about, you know, Israel, and a terrific amount of conversation. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to a number of people because I have a lot of questions, and arguments really built up in my mind against the whole Jew and Gentile reality, because I read my New Testament and I found out that there is neither Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. In other words, God doesn't see the outward appearance of anybody, but he looks into the heart. And that Paul wrote that we are not to know any man after the flesh. In fact, we're not even to know Christ Jesus after the flesh, meaning we don't know him as a Jew. And so when the conversation of Jew and Gentile comes up, it's always very, you know, difficult for me, because I know that he tore down the middle wall of partition, Jesus did, between the Jew and the Gentile, and made of the two one new man in the earth. And yet that conference and the church service yesterday were all about, you know, the Jew and the Gentile and the diversity. And I look around me and I do see males and I do see females, and I do recognize those who are poor and those who are rich and those who are bond and those who are free, those who are black and those who are white, those who are Jewish, those who are Gentile. I mean, I could see that in the flesh, but according to Scripture, there's a higher way, which is Christ. There's only two men in the earth. There's Adam and there is Christ. We have been born in Adam's race. We have been born again into the nature of Christ. And so I'm always accelerating in that direction. I always want to raise my vision and my heights. I want to, you know, ascend into what I believe God has called us all to, the whole creation, to be born again and not have those distinctions. So I was kind of wrestling a little bit here and there. You know, there's love covers everything. But, and I asked Marty Goetz, you know, my question, and I asked another pastor my question, and I asked a doctor, Sam was at the table. I talked to him. We just brief conversation. So yesterday I'm praying my heart out and I'm saying, Father, how do I deal with this issue of, you know, the obvious preaching of Judaism or being Jewish, and then, you know, the beautiful Gentiles and making that difference? You know, are they building the middle wall of partition again? And I was really struggling, quite frankly, in my heart. And then the Lord gave me this verse, but I didn't know the address. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I just knew in my spirit it came into me. And here's what we're reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said, again in verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God," he says, "but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." And so this was the answer that settled the question in my heart about the Jew and Gentile thing. I don't believe that that is the end of the matter. I'm Jewish. you're Gentile, Israel is Jewish, the church is Gentile. You know, we have this differential. I think it does exist, but I know that the higher way is Christ, that we are the body of Christ. The Jew and the Gentile are one new man in the earth, and that one new man is Christ. I know that is the purpose and will of God, but rather than arguing and separating and dividing, here I found the wisdom of God that to those who are Jewish, there's no doubt, according to the flesh, they are Jewish and they have their Jewish culture, their Jewish ways of living. And so rather than debating with them about their Jewishness, I became as a Jew. I enjoined in some of their, you know, their practices, and I understood them, and I celebrated them. But it's for the purpose of bringing them to a higher revelation of, you know, we're going to leave behind the physical. We're going to leave behind the flesh. We're going into the spirit, where the true worshipers of God worship in spirit and truth. Neither will they in this mountain or in Jerusalem. You may remember Jesus had that conversation with the woman, and he was telling her that it's not about the Jew and the Gentile. It's about the true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. And I know that that is the highest revelation, but again, I was able to settle myself down by saying, you know what, when people are acting out their Jewishness, I'm going to join them, because I've been to Israel. I love the Jewish people. I love the feast. I love so much of what they practice. So I'm all good with that, even though I seek for Christ in everything. And then in verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" All right, so we're all running, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. All right, so the question is, what is the race that you're running? Dear brother, dear sister, what are you running? And this is not in the competitive nature of, you know, I'm going to beat you, but you do need to understand that there is a race going on. And as Christian men and women, we're running for the prize. And we need to ask, well, what is the prize? What is the prize? And I believe we're gonna know what that prize is here in just a moment. So Paul again goes, so run that you may obtain. And then verse 25, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, if you're winning to win and for the perfection and the glory and the best of the best, well, you're temperate in all things. Now, they do it, Paul says, these runners in a race, to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So Paul is saying to the believers at Corinth, and for all believers everywhere throughout all generations, that we're running to obtain a crown that is incorruptible. In other words, this crown that we get when we win is going to be forever. Now, the Olympics, they get a crown, they get glory, they get placards, but it's not forever. It's temporary. It's corruptible. It's subject to decay. But to the man and woman of God that's running their race, there is a crown for those who win. And I want you to know that God has destined you and I to win. And we need to start running our race to win. But what is the prize? What is the crown? What is the race? And I truly believe that we're going to know that in just a moment. But Paul said in 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." He said, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. I'm not a shadow boxer, but I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul's saying he's running on purpose. He's fighting on purpose. He's making contact. There's substance to his journey. And you and I need to run, not uncertainly, not knowing where we're going. Remember, about 5 months ago, Elijah, he ate meat from heaven. God fed him, and he ran for 40 days, but he didn't really have any direction and wound up in a cave. Remember that conversation? And then God gave him direction, and then he was able to fulfill it with God's desire and God's will. And so you need to know the direction of your race. You need to know where you're running. You need to understand that there is a crown, there is a prize, there is a race, and you are called to win it. And I believe that this may or may not, this is a prophetic word that I pulled out of out of the safe or something like that. But anyways, here is a message I believe has something to do with what we're talking about. And I titled this, "Fasting and Prayer, Faith, Hope, and Love Are the Catalyst of our acceleration into our high place in God. Number one, do you know that you have a high place in God? We've been talking about God accelerating his purpose, and then we're seeing here that the catalyst of our acceleration, fasting, prayer, faith, hope, and love, these things accelerate within us. So here's the message. It's called a change in nature, a change in nature. And I believe this has to do with the race that we're running. For 6,000 years, I have been working and waiting to bring the man that I created in my image back to my image and likeness. This is the prophetic seventh day, the day of my rest, and I have entered into my rest and am waiting for the creation to enter in as well. The work that I have performed has been sufficient. Now, the harvest of a brand new creation is about to spring forth suddenly. It is the outworking of a new nature that I have worked to bring forth. A change in nature is about to take place all over the world. Many who have struggled with sin, condemnation, guilt, fear, and a host of other lower nature activities will suddenly be released from the bondage of corruption. These will escape pollutions of the world, flesh, and devil, and will walk in newness of life each and every day, giving glory and honor to me. These will know that they have been set free indeed and have been loosed from the shackles of sin and death. A new pep in their step shall cause them to walk in the earth with the overcomer's reward. They shall fear no evil, and even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, their confidence and trust in me will usher peace and rest into their soul. What was once in operation as lower nature activities will be replaced with a new nature rooted in the soil of who I am. This change shall take place in the season of the exponential. It shall be a 100-fold harvest in the same year. This is the year of release, and the abundant life of a new nature shall be revealed. Well, that's the beginning of this word, the first part of it. And I rejoice in what I'm hearing right now because I know that God is calling you and I to run our race. And what I'm hearing by the Holy Spirit is that God is wanting to accelerate everything, but it's the acceleration of a transformation. You see, the whole reality of being born again is becoming a new creation. I'll talk about it in the next part of this prophetic. It's literally titled The New Creation. If any man or woman in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I believe this also refers, without insult at all, this refers to the old way of being Jewish, Gentile, male, female, bond, free, rich, poor, black, white. I think spiritual dynamic, a born-again heart issue, a new nature. And this, again, is what religion cannot provide, but the Holy Spirit and the power of Christ can. And so, again, let's move forward. This is the new creation. Let me start at the beginning. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, listen. This is the Word of God. New Testament. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the new creation that is coming forth in this, the day of the Lord. Now, let me say it like this. Just because one is a Gentile does not mean that his nature changes. And just because one is Jewish does not mean that their nature changes. The change of nature is the dynamic of the new covenant, baptism of the Holy Spirit of the living God. To be Jewish is wonderful. To be Gentile is wonderful. But when the Jew and the Gentile come to Christ, there's the formation. There's a renewing that's taking place in the nature. And the nature is not a Jewish nature. It's not a Gentile nature. It is the nature of God himself, who is a spirit. Okay? So again, we're not trying to argue against the Jew-Gentile paradigm. We're wanting to bring the understanding to a higher place that there's something more than the Jew-Gentile conversation. So, back to this word. Jesus said, I am the seed that was sown into the earth 2,000 years ago. And even as I was raised from the dead on the third day, so shall the many sons be raised in this prophetic third day. I was the first fruits of a new creation when I ascended from death and hell. And I have taken my seat upon my throne in my kingdom and have waited until all my enemies are put under my feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The new creation that is coming forth will not taste death. This is the year of the harvest. The fullness of the harvest is being released, and that harvest is a harvest of a brand new nature in brand new creatures coming forth in the exact image and likeness, having nothing of the old nature remaining. Wow, you think you have faith? Can you believe for that? I mean, they teach you to have faith for a pink Cadillac. They think you'd have faith for a new car. They think, you know, everybody teaches everybody have faith for the things of this world, right? Well, do you have faith to believe that God's intent is to transform you into the very nature and image of himself again? The creation, Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. He sinned and he was deformed. You go back to, and I love telling this story, you go back to Genesis 2:7, and it says that God formed a man, right? He formed a man. Well, the man sinned, and he was deformed. So God began to inform the man that he was going to transform the man in order to conform the man into a form. And Paul the Apostle in Galatians 4:19 says, O little children, in whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. You see, God formed a man out of the earth. That man was deformed because of sin. He's gone through all kinds of information, reformation, transformation, being conformed into a form, which is Christ. Notice that in Galatians 4:19. But anyways, getting back to this, can you have faith to believe that God is going to do a work in a generation in the last days of men and women of God who trust him and believe him for everything, not in their own strength and power, but in his, that he is able to literally bring a new creation image into and onto the world stage that has nothing of the old human Adamic nature attached to it anymore? Well, you see, a lot of people don't have faith for that. They don't believe that God can do that. They believe that they have to be remain human-natured people. Now, we're in these bodies, but you don't have to have a human nature to live in these bodies. That complete divine nature can live fully in the express image of God the Father, as Jesus Christ was the express image of the Father, and so we're being conformed into his image. I mean, can you have faith for this? If you can, get ready. God's going to do amazing things, but I want you to know that this is the race to the divine nature. Now, the divine nature. How do we get there? What is God going to do? And I wrote down here, I think, five or six different things that has to happen. Number one, in order for this new creation species to come into view, there must come an acceleration. And the word acceleration, again, means a change in velocity, either increase or decrease. Now, obviously, we need an acceleration in the positive. We need an increase of the velocity in order to rapidly accelerate the transformation that's going on within us. You have to know, as a believer, when you accepted Christ into your heart and the Holy Spirit, there's been a work going on in you, and that work is ultimately the transformation of your nature. So the old man is crucified. We're to reckon him dead. We're to put on the new creation. But there needs to be an acceleration in velocity. So what has taken, you know, a long time, the daily grind, eventually must be met with a velocity change of increase. The next thing, the word is accelerate. So we talked about acceleration, change in velocity. And now we have accelerate, which means to increase the speed, to hasten the working. Now, I believe, and it also means to cause to happen sooner or to go faster. So I believe that God is accelerating his work. He's increasing the speed of his work in us. He's hastening his work in us. Remember, we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. He's the potter. We're the clay. He's doing it. And he's going to cause something to happen sooner than we think. That means to accelerate. Now, the next is an accelerant. And I thought this is it, the accelerant. So we have acceleration. We have accelerate. Now, an accelerant. And an accelerant is something that increases the speed of a process. In other words, is a catalyst. So I am looking forward to, in faith, through the eyes of faith, hearing what God is ready to do, that God is going to send a catalyst that is going to cause the increase. And again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, where those people were gathered in an upper room and the Holy Spirit came on like tongues of fire, that certainly accelerated the purpose of God for that generation. Well, now we're living at the end of the end of the end of the ages, and God wants to accelerate his purpose again. And I need you and I to continue to hear this message so that our faith will come. You know, we've got to, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God, and this is the directive from the throne of heaven, that you may understand that your life is more than just going about doing things, that you are not a human doing, you are a human being. And what God wants you to be is what he's about bringing forth. And so get ready for an acceleration. Open your heart to it. Believe with all your heart that God could transform you so thoroughly that you won't even recognize your old self in the days ahead, because you're going to be so brand new. He's going to change the way you think. He's going to change your patterns, your cycles of thought. He's going to change everything until you're walking in the fullness of the firstborn son, Jesus Christ. Miracles are going to be no problem for you because you're going to be transformed into a mindset that Jesus had. And the way that he did things is the way that you're going to do things if you will allow it to be. Now, I know this is not easy for the carnal mind to understand. I know that people that are sluggish in all their trouble and problems, this is a difficult thing to understand. But we need to have as much hope as the early disciples when Jesus said, go into Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. And that was right after the Passover, right after the resurrection. And Jesus said, go and wait. And they waited. And on the 50th day, Shavuot, Pentecost, that Holy Spirit came. And God is saying, as we approach the Passover season, I need you to gather together in your Jerusalem, so to speak. Gather together in prayer. Wait with expectancy, confidence, and hope for God to do something that he said he was going to do. And the only thing those disciples could do is obey the Lord. And I believe the Lord is saying to us in our generation, I'm calling you to gather together. I'm calling you to wait well. In other words, get things worked out, get things accomplished, find out what you got to get done. And then I believe that this catalyst is coming. The next word I had here is velocity. Velocity. And the word velocity means quickness or rapidity of motion or action. Folks, I'm telling you, wherever two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, he is there. You do not have to have this experience in a big church. It does not have to be in a church building. It could be in your living room with a few people that are hungry for the transformation, hungering for the baptism, hungering for this outpouring, this infilling of the Holy Spirit. You just get two or three people in an expectant mode, having hope, waiting in confidence for the baptism to come in this generation. And the things that we've read about will be overwhelmed with the experience of what God has determined to give us in this third day. And remember, it was on the third day that God saved his best for last at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. God's got his best wine. Oh, man, it's set apart for this generation. I'm telling you, it's true. But let's look at velocity again. Velocity, it means quickness or rapidity of motion or action. Swiftness, speed. A rate of change of position in relation to time. It's a rate of motion in a particular direction as of the rotation of a sphere in relation to time. So the rate of motion in a particular direction being sped up, if you will, swiftness, quickness, rapidity. Well, the direction is the transformation of the inner man. It is a transformation from the old nature to the new nature, and it's been slow going. You know, we're supposed to be walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us as Christians that we have an old nature, a flesh nature, and we have a divine nature, the Holy Spirit's nature, and we cannot live out of both. And Galatians 5 tells us what the flesh nature is, and it tells us what the divine nature is. The divine nature is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, self-control, right? You know that. I know that. But are you walking in it? Have you developed some fruit in your life? I mean, is there a root? And is there, you know, a plant? And are there leaves? And are there branches? And is there any fruit? And is the fruit growing? Is it turning green? Is it turning into an edible thing? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is to be growing, but God is saying it's been slow going, so I'm going to increase it. I'm going to accelerate it. I'm going to do something to cause the fruitfulness of that divine nature to appear in your life. The question is, do you have faith to believe? Now, the next word here is catalyst, all right? So earlier we talked about the accelerant, which is something that increases the speed of a process, and it was a catalyst. So the word catalyst literally means the causing or speeding up, and I love this. I wrote this so many years ago. Here it is. The causing or skull reaction by the addition of some substance which itself undergoes no permanent chemical change thereby. Now, how many of you know that drug addicts, people that have been addicted to drugs, begin because they put a chemical in their body, whether it's cocaine, crystal methamphetamine, or some other form of speed, they put a chemical in their body that creates a reaction to give them more energy, and they start thinking differently. And maybe the first few times it is the most awesome experience if it's good stuff, and you're wide open to what this thing is doing, and you're going, this is awesome, but it's a counterfeit, and it always causes death, all right? Well, God is saying that there is something of a chemical reaction that he's going to cause to speed up the transformation within us. Now, I need to ask you, does this inspire you? Are you inspired about changing, or do you just want more of the things of this world? I mean, ask yourself the question, am I excited about changing? Do you know that if you change, everything around you is going to change? But if you stay the same and try to change the world around you, it's never going to change. So you need to become inspired by the reality that God is wanting to change you into a divine-natured individual who have your mind on the things of God and heaven and spirit and eternity, and to bring heaven into this earth. I mean, does that inspire you? It should, because, again, I'm going to read this because I get this in my spirit, and I want you to get this, that the word catalyst is the causing. It's what causes to speed up. And it's caused by a chemical reaction. Now, what chemical would God introduce into our bodies to create a speeding up of the transformation? I believe that God has something. And whether that something is the Holy Spirit in our generation, but there is something that's going to create a God speed on the inside of you. Every other kind of speed is just it's a counterfeit. But there's a God speed that God wants to put into you to quicken you. He wants to reactivate all of your blood cells. He wants to reactivate and quicken everything inside of you to speed up the flow of your blood, that blood being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. He's wanting to do something inside of you in a physical way as well, but it's all about creating that new. You see, there's too many people that feel old, they feel useless, they don't feel like they could be purposeful to God. I've got news for you. You need to be encouraged because God's going to do something that no man on earth can do, no drug on earth can perform. God has something, and it's coming. It's at the door. He's been telling us, and God doesn't do anything until he first reveals it to his prophets. He is revealing what he is about to do, and I believe he's been talking about it for a long time. You and I need to get in alignment with the purpose of God. I love this. So let's talk a little bit about what acceleration to accelerate, or what an accelerant is, and then look at the velocity, the catalyst, that divine substance that God is going to bring transformation. Well, it's called Godspeed. Godspeed. And so finally, in this word, I come, Jesus said, at a time when you think not. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Look up, for your redemption draws near. It is high time to awake. So what you're hearing, I don't care if it's one person out there. Honest to God, it wouldn't matter to me if one person got this. But if you're hearing, God said, don't harden your heart against what you're hearing. Don't you dare belittle what you're hearing right now, or circumvent it some way with another kind of idea that seems to be more important. No, the most important revelation and message for this moment to the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, is what we're talking about right now. This is Father's heart. This is Father's heart. Nothing else. And so when people go backwards and they start preaching all this other lesser understanding that is not producing what God is after, they're really undermining God's purpose in other people's lives. So don't do that. You need to have your conversation. I need to have my conversation on this as being the ultimate goal. And so God says this, a divine acceleration. Things that seem to be far off shall appear suddenly. The normal pace has been changed to high speed. All things are being quickened, both in the realm of light and in the realm of darkness. In the realm of darkness, the mockers are shouting, "Where is the promise of his coming? Nothing has changed. All things remain the same since the beginning of time." The hypocrites have begun to beat the men servants and the maid servants, believing that my coming is far off. Many are putting off their commitment to serve me with their whole heart and continue to reserve a part for themselves. These are the Ananiases and Sapphiras of the day. Sin is tolerated by many, and true repentance is far off. The flesh nature of man continues to pour out the abomination of a corrupt nature. Division continues to exist within the churches. The wounded are not healed, the sick are not healed, the dead are not raised, the lame do not walk, the deaf do not hear, the poor are not helped, gossip, slander, and backbiting still rages within every community in the land. Half-hearted service abounds. Tiredness and burnout run rampant among the leadership. So what is the answer? I mean, that is going to be the reality. What I just read is going to be the continual reality in a church that does not get involved in this acceleration within the moment that we have. And what are the catalysts? Again, fasting. You want to get on with the purposes of God? It's time to fast. You want to get on with this purpose? You really see acceleration? Prayer. Start praying to God. Turn the podcast off when you're done listening to this and pray. Pray, pray, pray every chance you get before you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning, throughout your meals. Just pray to God. Pray in tongues if you don't know what to pray. And if you don't pray in tongues, get born again. Get baptized. Receive the Holy Spirit and give a shandarakiriri ambrakori andarabashande. And don't be ashamed about it, for goodness sake. So prayer, fasting, and then, of course, you must maintain a spirit of faith, because faith moves mountains, mountains of doubt, mountains of fear, mountains of misunderstanding, all mountains that are in the way, even the mountain of human nature, the man or woman you know yourself to be so well, that needs to be taken out of the way, is another catalyst. Have hope. What is hope? It's confident expectation. Confident expectation while you're waiting. So real hope is waiting for what we're talking about with a confident expectation. In other words, you know this is going to happen. You see, when I preach these things, I know this is in the heart of God, but then time goes by and it leaves room for doubt. Oh, well, nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. You know, maybe you prayed about something and you don't see it happening at the rate of speed that you want it to happen. So you're tempted to doubt. Oh, well, God didn't hear me and it's not going to work. And, you know, I didn't think while I was praying it was really going to be heard anyways. So I better take things into my own hands. And no, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. There's no faith in that. When you pray, you ask God for something, you stand in faith and you wait in faith until that prayer is answered. You don't give up so easily. You got to learn to be strong and you have to endure a little bit longer. God's going to stretch your faith a little more to wait a little longer to believe, but to believe in hope. So we have fasting and prayer. We have faith and hope. And then the final accelerant, the thing that's going to move this mountain quicker than anything, is love. Genuine agape. When I went to that Understanding the Time meeting, I argued in my heart about what they were saying, but my love for them was complete. I love those people. My God, they are special people. The presence of God was so rich in that place. Simple people, but they pressed into something, and you could sense the agape. The love is there. And yet, God settled my heart with becoming all things to all men that we may save some. And I believe that no matter where you are in your journey with Jesus right now, or where I am in my journey with Jesus, that we have to see the goal. We have to look beyond where we are and realize that there is something out in front of us. There's something higher than where we are. And when we look through the biblical lens to what that high place is, that glorious high place that God says that we're going to run, we're going to walk, we're going to ride upon the high places of the earth, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, when we recognize that as being conformed into the image of the firstborn son, that we're a new species, you know, that are divinely natured, when we see that as the high place, don't get bummed out of where you are. Just look up and start moving towards it. How? Start fasting a little bit. Start praying a little bit more. Have faith and believe and hope and wait with expectation. And while you're waiting, make sure you're loving everybody around you, including yourself. In other words, folks, we don't even know how close we are to this thing happening. But here's the reality. We may be at the bottom of the hill, but if God comes, if Jesus comes in a unique way, he could touch you with the tip of his finger and accelerate such Godspeed in you that you will excel, you will triumph, you will move to the highest heights in leaps and bounds. You will not be just walking. You will go in leaps and bounds into that accelerated place, that high place that God has called you to. You may be way behind right now. You may feel that everybody's out in front of you right now. People are better than you are. They have more anointing than you are. They have a better way of doing this. They do that. They have more than I have. Forget all that. You get focused, and the Lord will touch you in such a way that he'll cause you to get to your high place. And the only thing that matters is that you walk in your destiny, that you walk in your reason why you're alive. It's called purpose. It's called your calling. And if you're walking in what God created you to do, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It really doesn't matter. And the more you become like Christ in the inner person and that divine nature comes, it doesn't matter what you do. You're a janitor, you're a CEO, president, it doesn't matter what the job title is in the flesh. It's the nature in which you do whatever it is that you do. And, you know, you could do a lot of great things in this world, but if the nature of God is not involved in it, it's temporary, corrupt, and it's going to fail. It's prone to failure. So this is being born again and knowing that there is a destination for your life. You're hearing this right now because God has predestinated you. Come on, let's look at Romans chapter 8. He predestinated you to be conformed into the image of his son. That is your destination. That is what God predestinated you for. That's why you're coming to faith in Christ, not just to go to heaven. Your faith in Jesus Christ was predetermined by God before you ever existed. And now that God knocked on the door of your heart and you opened it up and received him, you need to know what he predestinated you for. It was not to go to heaven. It was to be conformed into the image of his son. And so everything about your life is always moved towards that goal, and that's why it's so important to know that you have the Holy Spirit in your life, activating you, directing you, guiding you, leading you. It is all the Holy Spirit, and whatever you do on this earth is secondary to what you are becoming in this earth, which is a full-blown new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. No residual from the old. Oh, there may be some scars. We've all got scars, but there's no more pain in the scars. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have faith to believe for this? I've been talking for quite some time. I'm going to open the lines up. If you would like to join the conversation, the number to call is 818-369-0326. You can dial 1 on your dial pad. Now, you know what to do, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. I'll bring you into the conversation. So how does this relate to the scary, scary things that are going on in the world today? What about, let's talk about it. Come on, the push for gun control, artificial intelligence, this new technology that's taking over the world. Let's talk about terrorism. Let's talk about plague. Let's talk about pestilence, earthquakes, natural disasters. Let's talk about 15 or 5 people dying in a tour helicopter in New York yesterday. Or let's talk about this, that, or the other. On in the world, all relate to to what we're talking about. We're not supposed to be foolish. We're not supposed to be ignorant. We're not denying what's going on in the world, because just as God is wanting to accelerate his people in light, the king of darkness is accelerating everything in the realm of misery. Okay? Darkness is coming on this earth. But here's the secret. Those who are truly born again are going to be able to navigate through. I believe that the secret, the mystery to not only surviving these times that are coming, but literally thriving in the midst of these times, is walking in the Holy Spirit. Living in the Holy Spirit. Being divinely led by the Holy Spirit. This is our dwelling place, ultimately our ark in the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit directs you to do something, regardless of what everybody else says, you do it. If the Holy Spirit leads you into a direction of preparation, and people around you start laughing at you and mocking you and saying all kinds of insulting things to you, or arguing with you or debating with you, you cannot pay attention to them. If Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you must do it. If the Holy Spirit tells you to go evangelize over in Africa, get on the plane. Start making preparations to get on the airplane and go to Africa. If he tells you to go to India or Asia or China, we were talking about China with Daniel Seckham yesterday. I mean, China is now, right now, monitoring their entire population in the major cities throughout China. The entire population of the cities of China are now monitored. And 85% of the population of China no longer uses cash. Everything's happening by their phones, by technology. What does that mean? Where is this 5G global network going, where the whole world will be under the power of high-speed internet? I mean, we talked about these things. They're very intense, but how are you going to navigate? By the Holy Spirit. Let's take our first call this morning and say good morning to Dakota. Brother Ken, Kathy, hold on. There you are. How are you?
Yeah, so fine. Okay. Am I here or not?
Yes, we are here, okay. Kathy. God bless you.
Okay. All right. Here is my question. I've been listening to you this morning, and I've seen this for years, what you're talking about, what God wants to do. And a lot of people, they don't realize, I believe, that, you know, Christ is coming first in his chosen people, and then his literal coming comes later, if I've got that right. But he's coming in his people, and he's going to move in and through his people. And the other thing, when you brought that out about the children of Israel, how God kept them, just their shoes never even wore out. Now, are we going to come into that kind of a thing where, my God, it sounds funny, but even we won't have need of these things because it's going to be so supernatural?
Kathy, the Bible says very clearly that Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, even so shall he do. Now, Jesus had no place to lay his head. He had no particular home. He moved about. He was always about the things of the kingdom, and he walked in supernatural, miraculous power around the Roman Empire in a hostile religious system of his day and sinners all over the world. I do believe that we're going to experience it. Now, I have to have faith to believe that God is going to bring this, because in my own self, I could never do this. But my faith in this that we have been talking about, I do believe we're going to see a supernatural season, not of just one Son of God, and not just the early church, but what the Son brought into the world, what the early church experienced was a first fruits. I do believe that we're going to see the double portion in these last days. And if we get in on that, wow, oh, wow.
Amen. Amen. We will be going through, and we are going through, a cleansing here about the true bride,
yes,
of Christ, because this situation with the bride of Christ. You know, everybody wants, everybody says they're a Christian, but my God, I can't see these fruits. You know, and I'm even checking my own life, but I am thinking, God, we have got to surrender totally, and so that this can come forth, Christ in us.
Yeah. Kathy, let me ask you this. Is there not a biblical principle about an unequal yoke? Doesn't the Bible say, do not yoke yourselves with unbelievers? Do not join yourself, right? There's a principle. Do we think for 1 second that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, is in his divine nature, is going to join himself to a bride with a human nature? Absolutely not. The bride's cleansing is the cleansing of the human nature of selfishness, pride, jealousy. Everything the Bible speaks of is human nature. The true bride of Christ is eradicating. She's putting it to death. She's putting it off. She's not waiting for something to happen. This is the bride that has made herself ready by putting to death the deeds of the flesh so that her nature could be transformed. And I believe it's to those who have been working this out that this acceleration is going to come.
Okay, and then everybody has to die by themselves. Nobody can do it for you, right?
No, that's right. And that's each one of us are called to take up our cross and follow the Lord.
Well, that's pretty complete. Okay, got it.
Are you up to the race?
Yes, I've been in a long time, and I want to finish it, praise God.
And you're going to finish it with Godspeed. You're going to finish this race. There's not going to be no bear on your back. This is a time of acceleration. You're going to run faster than you've ever run before. Your best days are right ahead of you. They're not behind you. Everything was only preparation for this moment. Kathy, I believe that with all of my heart that God created you to win. You're going to run with divine acceleration, with Holy Spirit energy and power. And because you see the goal, you see the cleansing, you see where God wants to bring you to. And so God is going to give you that ability, and he's going to do it, and you're going to rejoice. Hallelujah.
Praise God. To God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Bye.
Go
yes.
Shake
Thank
the people.
You.
God, thank you for the call. All right, the number to call, 818-369-0326. I'm here to wake you up. I'm here to shake you up. Are you ready? Come on. Do you want to accelerate? You want to raise your vision? You want to raise your heights? You want to awaken to something that is greater than what you're looking at right now? Come on. Don't look horizontally. Look vertically. It's time for a vertical leap for the overcomers. Are you ready for a vertical leap in the kingdom of God to accelerate from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain, to go from being the tail to being the head, to being the overcome, to being the overcomer? Are you ready for Christ, who causes us to triumph always? For that's what's written. He always causes us to triumph. We are more than conquerors. Come on, are you ready for that conversation? 818-369-0326. Now, I know that there are some people that around the world, the body of Christ, that you could shout to eternity, they won't budge. I know that about people. There's no budge in them. They're like Pizza the Hut. They just sit and they hear, but nothing moves them. And what I'm praying is now, if faith can move a mountain, then I know that people that are listening and are hearing, eventually as they continue to hear, that faith is going to grow in them, and the mountain of their own procrastination is going to be moved out of the way. The mountain of their own disgruntlement, their mountain of their own resistance, the mountain of their own unwillingness is going to be moved out of the way. That is my hope. Waiting for your call. We've got just a few minutes left here today. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Where are you? What is it all about for you? I mean, you have a calling. You know what God has called you to do. You're operating in your calling to some degree. But what is it all about? Have we made a successful case today about the real, genuine, ultimate purpose of God in the life of his kids, which is to transform us into that divine nature with nothing of the human nature? Do you want it? Oh, yes. You know why? Because that human nature is such a defilement to the purposes of God. It is such an interference. It's so weak and pale in comparison to the glory that God wants to give us. Now, the Bible says that the present distress, all right, that in Romans chapter 8, let me read it directly the way it's read there, about the present struggle that people are going through. And so Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 8. I love this verse, and I think you do too. He says this, "For I reckon," I'm in Romans 8:18, "for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What glory? What glory? The glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is that at? That's in, and here's how it says it in Colossians, this beautiful passage of Scripture. This beautiful passage of Scripture where Paul says that the mystery that has been held back, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want to get to that verse. And I think most of you already know what the verse says, but it's 128, I believe. And he says this, and I'll close out with this. Verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ, the hope of glory. The present suffering that you and I and millions around the world are going through is the suffering for doing what is right. It is the suffering that comes along with the cross, dying to self. And the glory that is going to be revealed in us is going to so far eclipse this moment of suffering. Like a woman in travail, when she's giving birth, there's a lot of pain. But when she's finally given birth, she forgets the sorrow because of the joy of a man-child. And so, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, let us continue to move forward in the ultimate purpose of our Father, who died for us, gave his life for us, who shed his blood for us, who gave his Son to us, gave us the Holy Spirit, gave us the Bible, the Word of God, to grow, to eat, to mature, to ripen. Let us move forward in this understanding. There is a glory to be revealed in us, and that is the nature of Christ in Christ alone. I am Vincent Xavier. It is Monday. I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on the Omega Radio Network. Up next, after this brief little intermission, is our dear sister and my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, who's going to be bringing her live ministry on deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We'll be right back. God bless.
Resting in the love that Well, hello, hello, hello. This is Patricia Xavier, and I am so blessed today in what I just heard Pastor Vincent Xavier speak on. It just encouraged me. I know it encouraged you, and it literally was being a tool to help us transform. And it, we are changed, as Pastor Vincent said, within, we will change things, or things will change around us. And so for the betterment of our lives, it is absolutely necessary to bring transformation. And how do we do that? We do it by being set free. And that's why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, to help us be set free. You know, we are in the chapter of manifestation of devils recognizing our enemies. And it's been an incredible chapter so far. But why would we need to be transformed? We need to be transformed to be in his image. But some just cannot handle that change. And I believe there's a reason for it. And if we're going to touch lives and help them be changed, we need to understand the work of spiritual warfare. You know, many have come to me. I am so oppressed. In fact, yesterday in service, I saw an individual with a spirit of oppression and depression on him. And I wanted to go and stop the service and call out, but the Lord kept me back from doing it. He said, the time is not yet. And that is being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But oh, how it hurt my heart to see that spirit of oppression and depression. And so many find themselves in this manner these days, with everything going around and not going right for them as they expected it to be. But if you have found yourself that way, if you have found yourself oppressed and depressed with wounds so deep and pain so fierce that your spiritual life is crippled, you've read the Bible, you pray to the Lord, you seek counsel, but it doesn't seem to give you relief. If you feel that you fight a spiritual battle with little or no success, something may have invaded you, putting you into a state of confusion. Enemy works. State of confusion is double-mindedness. Double-mindedness, a double-minded person can't ask anything of God and receive it. You have to be one way or the other, all for the Lord or all for the world. You cannot be in confusion, for that's the pull of the enemy. And that's what this world is in right now. It's in a mass state of confusion with no order. We, the United States of America, you had order at one time. That order worked. But now we're a house divided. We're confused, and we know a house divided cannot stand. And that's how many of us are individually, as human beings. We're a house divided. We're in confusion, especially with the different false news going around and about. We don't know what is a false flag. We don't know what is false news. We have to know what true news is for us to be able to stand. And if we have if we're in a position of confusion, the enemy has us. That's why deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is so important for us at this time. And the problem may be beyond anything we can do. It may be something that we have done for years, any kind of thing we have done. We have gone for counseling. We have gone to the minister. We even looked into psychology. It's spiritual warfare, folks. And that is why I need to talk to you. I believe with all my heart that what Pastor Vincent is saying is for us right now. But we need this war to get to the position of being set free, to have the hope, to have the faith and love that is required of us. We could do it by faith, but when we're in a position of being in bondage, we find ourselves incapable of doing that. So let us go through what was discussed a little bit as of last week, and that would have been before this weekend, last Friday, last Thursday, last Wednesday. We discussed that the spirits of nervousness and tension may cause pain when you're about ready to bring someone through a deliverance. We need to take a look at that and study and see whether or not they are being inflicted at that very moment. And we also discussed devils speaking through their victims, and we spoke, or I taught, on how to be discerning in this area. We spoke on conversing with devils, that it shouldn't be done unless it's absolutely necessary, and you better be ready and prepared for it, not afraid. We talked about devils seem to know that the eyes of a person reveal their presence. So as a minister of deliverance, the devils will look into your eyes to see where you are. Are they going to see light and truth? I believe they will. Not to be afraid. Just walk in the truth. Devils will usually respond to a description of what they are causing. For instance, if you are talking to them about bad dreams, they will respond in that manner of bad dreams. And it'll reveal various things that the one you are delivering will be in agreement to. Yes, that happened to me. And devils prefer to seek and indwell another human after they've been cast out, and we brought tales on that. If you want more details and you weren't able to follow through because you don't have my book, I would just ask you to please purchase it. Go to Amazon, Patricia Joy Xavier, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights is the title of the book. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We can read together. We can go through this book together, and you can underline what you would like to underline. Anything that you have questions about, then you could email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. We can converse back and forth in that manner. And also, if you have anything to add to what you heard and what you have had in experience yourself, I would love to know about it. So if you would like to follow with me through this wonderful experience, purchase the book. Come on stage with me, so to speak, and let's work for the help of individuals that are listening. And by the way, this program goes all over the world. So people from all over the world that we would never have an opportunity to touch will be listening and hearing what God has given us to speak to them regarding deliverance. So now we're going into the knowledge of the chapter 6, and that's where we were. And here are a number of things to note when you begin to minister deliverance. We're going into the actual deliverance now. It is extremely time-consuming. And Jesus entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. In other words, you have to have the kind of heart where you would not mind your time being dissolved and taken in. Because the same thing happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. He went into a house to enter in that no man may know he was there, but there was no way to hide him. But his heart was to set the captives free. If you take this ministry of deliverance seriously, the scripture will soon become a reality to you because people will seek you out. the Spirit of God will touch them through you. And the enemy will not be happy about it, but it will make you glad, and the individual who's getting delivered very, very happy, because peace will finally come into their life. They'll be delivered, and they'll be able to recognize their part that they will have in the transformation of their lives and helping others being transformed also, so we can get on with the program, become the army of God. God called us to be the overcomers God called us to be the manifested sons of God on earth as God called us to be. No gender involved here. And it will be necessary to get as much rest as possible, because much of your energy will be used in the warfare against these spirits of darkness. You won't recognize it when you're involved, because God will be energizing you, downloading you, expressing himself through you. So you won't be witnessing anything dark in the way of your own life. You're dealing with spirits of darkness, and they will try to take your energy, but you will be energized in this work. Afterwards, however, you may feel one or two ways. You may feel very enlightened and very happy about the experience, or you may feel drained and tired. It depends on what kind of warfare you're dealing with. And often Jesus found himself wanting to get away to rest alone and be with his Father, and I recommend you do the same. I've been involved with expressing how much we need to be alone with the Father, to feel his heart, to know his heart for us, and get in that room, shut the door, and be available for him when necessary. You're going to need it in these days we're in, and your patience will be necessary. One of the most profound fruits of the Spirit will be tested. The spirit of patience is profound, and I'll tell you why. Because the spirit of patience with that, with the experience of patience, you will able to take the work of God into your soul, and your soul will come into full redemption through that work. You will be able to take over all the things in your life that you have been so impatient about. It is a fruit. It has to grow within you. Your patience will be tested, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And there are those who are slow to learn and do not retain their deliverance, and you will have to repeatedly encourage them. It takes patience. Patience is a beautiful spirit. It'll prove and show your love. It is always good to remember at these times that we are only as good as our weakest link, that the weaker souls among us should be doubly honored. That's the word of God. You must keep that in mind. You are no greater than the one that you are delivering. But with your patience, you will possess your soul. You will grow into a greater transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ within you yourself. And you will see that transformation coming because of the love and care that you're giving others to be set free from their bondage. It is a wonderful work of God, a wonderful work of God, and one that you will never be sorry about. That you now feel very, very purposed on this earth. And Pastor Vincent was talking about our purpose on this earth. He was bringing that to our attention, that we have been brought to this earth, born on this earth, for times such as this, to realize our destiny and our purpose. Deliverance will also take a tremendous amount of love and dedication from you, as I said earlier, previously. And that love will grow in intensity because you're giving it. You're giving it to another. And in that dedication, you'll need strong faith, faith that can move mountains. You must realize, you must understand that it is not you doing the work, but Christ within you doing the work. And your faith will grow in him, that he is truly doing it within you. This will bring great joy because it'll take the pressure off of you and know that it's already been accomplished on the cross. Therefore, what you are doing is a work already done. And therefore, it's going to be with ease. Some will be more difficult. But as far as the ease is concerned, I'm talking about the knowledge that it's going to get done. And scriptural knowledge, of course, is necessary. Remember that while, Jesus was in the wilderness, he spoke the word of God when he rebuked the devil. He just didn't rebuke the devil. He spoke the word of God. And that is where your power will emanate from. The word of God is light. The word of God is truth. The word of God is power. It's magnificent. It is absolutely delivering, and it has everything necessary to change lives because it brings a total casting out of Satan of any individual, any circumstances where he is bound and he cannot move to deceive anymore. Anyone who has been deceived most of their lifetime, even in Christianity, truth is now being revealed. Truth is now being manifested in a way and manner it never has before. Our Lord promised that he would reveal mysteries to us in the latter days because he was waiting on a people that is so hungry. Now, there has been individuals like a golden chain throughout the last 2,000 individuals who in the last 2,000 years who have been able to grab hold of this truth, this magnificent truth. But in this day and age, multitudes, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Christians are going to be able to grab onto this truth, not only in a few that have become marvelously known, but in the army of God and in the people that know their God. It's going to be so magnificent. It is becoming that way now if you grab hold as to what Pastor Vincent was speaking of. It is a time such as this that all creation has been waiting for 6,000 years. And we have entered into the 7,000th year. Perfection is coming upon the body of Christ. The number 7 means perfection. It's working now, it's work. Oh, I cannot be perfect, you may say. Oh, yes, you can. Because the word of God tells us that we should be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. It says that he has come to set us free, to fulfill that very thing. And the word perfect means mature. The word perfect means complete. He is bringing his people to completion. He is bringing his people to maturity. And it is time now to rise up and know who you are in Christ Jesus. He is calling out. His eye is upon the earth, the four corners of the earth. And he's drawing those elect to himself. Oh, what a time we're in. Like no other. But you must grasp what God has done for us on the cross. It took 2,000 years to become a reality, but it is now becoming a reality. So remember that while Jesus was in the wilderness, he spoke the word of God when he rebuked the devil. And we spoke about this in earlier chapters. We talked about the details of how deliverance is necessary by the minister bringing forth the word, and the deliverance is necessary for that individual to be set free, the word of God is going to do it. It's going to make it an established truth. The word of God will cast that devil out. Jesus did the very same. In all, there will be an overflowing of God's blessings and rewards as one by one you see the captives set free from the demonic hold of Satan. Your eyes will behold greatness like you've never seen before. Miracles will take place in that individual. There is no greater glory or joy than seeing someone set free and live the life that they were created from the foundations of the earth to live. You will rejoice. You will rejoice and be thrilled that the God you serve is so mighty. And in the last chapter, there will be instructions given on how to help a person keep their deliverance once that individual is delivered. You know the word, Satan will come back to try to get back into his house that he occupied. And when he occupied that house, if they were Christians, he was trespassing on blood-bought house, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross. He was trespassing on your house, calls his house. He had no right there. He was trespassing, but sin allowed it in. People are bound in sin through generational bloodline curses. They're bound to sin through their own cursed life. But Jesus Christ hung on the cross to take all curses upon himself and to break the power of curse upon you, whether it's through bloodline or your own doings. And you will see a purchased property so beautiful and so clean that God will shine through it because it is his house. It doesn't belong to Satan. But Satan will call it his house as long as he has occupation within it. And he'll call other demons in it. And if he is cast out, if devils are cast out to the dry place, they will want to return and occupy their house again. And Satan will be the strong man to allow it to be. So be careful, dear ones, when you bring someone through deliverance, that they know clearly that you will help them stay set free. And sanctification is the ultimate in deliverance from devils. We can compare the devils to airplanes and the old nature to an airport. If we tear up the landing strip, there won't be any place for the devils to land. Isn't that good news? If we are dead to lust, how can we have a spirit of lust? Evil spirits attach themselves to the old nature person in the soul realm. That's where it's been. And demons will do that very thing. These evil spirits love it. These evil spirits love to be into that determined old nature that was not able to be resolved. But your old nature will fade away and you'll become a brand new Christian in Christ Jesus. You will put on a new nature, and that new nature is Jesus Christ, transformed into his image. And where will the work be? It'll be in the realm of the soul. Because it's in your soul that you carried that DNA information of generational bloodline curse. Your soul has intelligence to it. Your soul has information and layers to it. Layer upon layer brought in by the evil spirits from generational bloodline curses and from spirits that have been familiar. They call them familiar spirits with your forefathers. They will take residence. But when the blood of the Lamb comes forth, and you received the Holy Spirit and were renewed in your spirit, your renewed spirit will take hold of all that is demonic within that soul and everything that has been carried through the DNA that has been negative and wrong. Not the blessings, but the curses. The DNA carries both blessings and curses. The DNA is a very powerful instrument or very powerful cell. Call it what you will. But it carries information that is far beyond anything humans understand yet. But science will catch up with it sooner or later. Will bring into your being not only your coloring, not only your color of your eyes or your flesh, or the structure of your body, or your organs and how they have been placed within you and the health of each one. But the DNA will also carry in that which has been cursed within the bloodline. And every human being is born under the curse until they come to Jesus Christ. He came to set us free from the curse. And where was that curse first received? At the fall of Adam and Eve. We are of their bloodline. However, when we come to Jesus Christ, come into a brand new bloodline, a brand new DNA, and that cleansing of the blood of Jesus by and through the Holy Spirit renewed in us as our spirit has received the Holy Spirit and become holy, then that work begins within the soul realm, and deliverance is an actuality. And those evil spirits that attach themselves to the old nature in the soul realm will be cast out. You're going to be a brand new creature for sure. 30, 60, 100 fold. Justification, sanctification, glorification. It's up to you, body of Christ, which way you want to go. The Pharisees, you know, accused Jesus of by Beelzebub, who is a devil. Do you know what Beelzebub means? It means the Lord of the flies. The Lord of the flies. What a perfect illustration. Where do flies attach themselves? Not to spotlessly clean vessels, but to a stinking pile of garbage. Our old natures are like garbage heaps, and they draw flies. They attract devils. And the best way to get rid of devils is to get rid of the old nature. I'll tell you this. There are things that I am learning about that are not delivered from the bondage of these demons, these unholy spirits. We are going to be caught up into the deception of all of it. And what I have learned will really be a concern to each individual once they know how the enemy has taken hold of multitudes of people. They don't realize it to the degree. We do, and hopefully we will be able to help to set the captives free. God bless you. I am Patricia Xavier of New Wine Ministry. Have a wonderful day and get set free and set. You are loved, you are cared about, and God has a plan for your life. We will talk more tomorrow.